Save the date. The 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference is October 11th through 13th at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport in Erlanger, Kentucky, with visits to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. Look for more information in early 2023 at lutheransforlife.org/conference. Lutherans for Life, equipping Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. lutheransforlife.org.
They are promoting modern families, which is code for child loss. Modern family simply means that the child had to lose their mother or father to be in that family.
Conservatives here tend to want a smaller government. The Nazis wanted a government that controls everything. Modern day conservatives in America put a big emphasis on freedom, liberty. The Nazis wanted to squelch individual freedom and liberty.
For a Christian, your absolute priority is always that your children would know the Lord God and know Him, especially in His grace and His mercy in Jesus Christ, and that they would know those things on their deathbed.
That's something that I would hope for anyone who was raised in Bill Gothard's system or in another system, teacher who claimed to seek for God but didn't, that they would come to know the beauty of Christ for who He truly is.
This is Mike from Illinois, and Lutherans Marching for Life, Love, Issues, etc.
Well, we're broadcasting from the Illinois March for Life in Springfield, Illinois. It's an event that is, well, a lot of Roman Catholics and a fair amount of Lutherans. It's kind of a Roman Catholic Lutheran event, marching, advocating for the protection of the unborn. We thought it would be a good occasion to get a number of perspectives on pro-life efforts in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There were a lot of those kinds of Lutherans here today as well. That's what we'll be doing on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll start with a historical perspective on the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on abortion. We'll spend some time talking about synodical efforts with Pastor Matt Harrison and Deaconess Tiffany Manor, Director of Life Ministries for the LCMS. Pastor Tim Scharr and Pastor Michael Moore, President of the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will join us to talk about district-wide pro-life efforts. Then we go to the congregational level with Pastor Mark Serberg and Dr. Kirk Clayton. We'll round everything off with a conversation with Bishop Thomas John Paparaki. He's Bishop of the Diocese in Springfield, Illinois, talking about Roman Catholic pro-life efforts. Joining us to discuss the history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on the issue of abortion, Dr. Ken Sherb. He has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's Director of Evangelism and Missions, Stewardship and Human Care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, welcome back.
Delighted to have you here, Todd. Usually I'm kind of coming to you. This time you came to me.
Yes. I guess, big picture first, has the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod historically been a pro-life church body?
Yeah, I told Jeff that I was just going to say yes to that question and then see what you were going to do as a follow-up. But the fact is, the Missouri Synod has. And it goes back really even before the Roe versus Wade decision, all the way back to 1971. Remember, Roe versus Wade was decided in January of 1973. So on this one, and this may not be all that characteristic of the Missouri Synod, we got our oar in the water early.
So how did we do that? We're going to walk through significant dates here, the two most significant being the first two in 1971. How did we, even before Roe, speak on the issue, definitively on the issue of abortion?
Well, the Synod has basically one way of publicly stating a position, and that is with a convention resolution. Having said that, that's a little bit perhaps deceptive, because, of course, we subscribe above all to Scripture as the Word of God and to the Lutheran confessions as a faithful exposition of Scripture. So it's not quite accurate to say that the Missouri Synod has no position on something unless you can point to a specific convention resolution on that particular thing. So in that sense, the Missouri Synod has had a position on abortion just like it's had a position on taking human life in general that is as old as the fifth commandment and even before God gave that to Moses on Mount Sinai. But in terms of an articulated convention resolution, 1971, leading up to that was a study document from the Commission on Theology and Church Relations, which fed into the convention's consideration of a resolution on abortion that year.
Do we know if, at the time, the Missouri Synod was responding to anything in particular going on in the politics or the social movement surrounding abortion in the United States?
It was in the air. It was either earlier that year or the previous year. The state of New York had adopted what was, at the time, the most liberal abortion statute in the entire country for any of the 50 states. And that got the issue kind of on people's radar screens. And then there was a Supreme Court case that was in the works. I don't know how far along Roe versus Wade or any of the companion cases was at the time that the Missouri Synod spoke in the summer of 1971. But people knew that the mountain was quaking and belching and something big was going to give with respect to abortion.
What did they actually say?
The 1971 resolution simply says to state position on abortion. It's relatively brief, and it says in its first resolved what is really unchanged. And the thing we're going to find out here, Todd, is the Missouri Synod's got a pretty boring position. If you're looking for great shifts or anything like that, you've got to look someplace else because it's been really one tune hummed continuously, maybe with different modifications to it or different extensions. But the first resolve says that the Synod regard willful abortion as contrary to the will of God. And that's just what it is today. Significantly, the very last resolved in that resolution said that the members of the Synod remember to deal lovingly also with the offense of sinful abortion, for where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, quoting from Romans 5. So there you have it, the law and the gospel of it, which has been in the Missouri Synod position ever since there was an articulated convention resolution on the subject.
That CTCR document that you mentioned before, it gave a much broader explanation for this position, laying the groundwork for this very briefly stated position. Mm-hmm. How would you summarize that?
Well, it was treating both theological but also legal and medical considerations with respect to abortion. And the theology got its first place there, as it should. Broadly speaking, the argument was that God is the author of life, and we should not be usurping that. We should not be rejecting God's gift of life. Now, where the Missouri Synod position has gotten a little bit better articulated, it's not a fundamental change in the position, but where the stating of it has been better is the difference you'll see between what I'm about to read you from the 1971 resolution reflecting that CTCR document, and what we'll see a few years later by 1979. So I'm going back to the 71 resolution. Resolved that the Synod recognized that in a fallen world, it becomes necessary at times to choose between one life and another, and be it further resolved that if such choice must be made by the children of God, they do so recognizing that it is neither our motives nor the necessity that justifies them before God, but only the grace and forgiveness of God in Christ Jesus. The language of choosing between one life and another got polished up later on.
What were they trying to say there? What were they trying to make allowance for there?
Well, trying to take account of the fact that there are problem pregnancies where it is difficult for a doctor. He tries to save the life of both the child in utero and the mother, but sooner or later, one ends up dying.
They spoke again in 1979. What do we need to know about that particular statement?
This is the more articulated. It's certainly lengthier. It goes into greater detail. And it really does say this thing that we were just talking about in a better way. So let me read you some of this resolution. This is from 1979. It's the position on abortion. And it finally calls upon Christians, or it firstly, rather, calls upon Christians to do three things. Number one, hold firmly to the clear biblical truths that the living but unborn are persons in the sight of God from the time of conception. That's one thing. Second, as persons, the unborn stand under the full protection of God's own prohibition against murder. And the third thing, and now get this in light of what we just read, since abortion takes human life, abortion is not a moral option, except as tragically unavoidable byproduct of medical procedures necessary to prevent the death of another human being, that is, the mother. So no, we're not talking about choosing between one life and another. We're talking about an unavoidable consequence of actions taken to preserve one human life if that ends up ending the life of another.
Real quick before we take a break, do you know the relationship between the 71 and 79 statements? Did they realize a need to clarify some of those positions?
I did not go back that far into the documents. I can't show you that. But I'm guessing, Todd, that, yeah, there was a need to say that in just a more precise way. And certainly that's what got accomplished. But we're only getting started on this 1979 resolution.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that significant date in the history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on abortion. Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Things above, that's the theme for this year's hymn sing at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The Bridegroom Soon Will Call Us, Jerusalem the Golden, Wake Awake for Night is Flying, and a whole bunch more. You don't want to miss it. Making the Case is Friday, June 16th and Saturday, June 17th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
Hate my family, not peace but a sword, make friends by unrighteous wealth. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March is Jesus Said What? This new resource is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number 1-800-325-3040. Or learn more about Jesus Said What? At issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Jesus Said What? 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Save the date. The 2023 Lutherans for Life National Conference is October 11th through 13th at the Holiday Inn Cincinnati Airport in Erlanger, Kentucky, with visits to the Ark Encounter and Creation Museum. Look for more information in early 2023 at lutheransforlife.org/conference. Lutherans for Life, equipping Lutherans and their neighbors to be gospel-motivated voices for life. Lutheransforlife.org.
Looking for a faithful Lutheran church in East Central Oklahoma? Welcome to Trinity Okmulgee, a friendly and faithful LCMS congregation only 40 miles south of Tulsa. Hi, this is Pastor Chris Teebs. Check us out at trinityokmulgee.org. That's Trinity OKMULGEE, all one word, .org. See you soon at Trinity Okmulgee, Oklahoma.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're getting a history of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod on the issue of abortion, a brief history, if you will, in the time allotted to us. Dr. Ken Sherb is our guest, and we're broadcasting from the Illinois March for Life at Trinity Lutheran Church in Springfield, Illinois. So we have more to say about 1979. What did they add or what did they clarify in that follow-up?
It's just stating the position in greater detail. The Missouri Synod called upon Christians also to speak and act as responsible citizens. Notice that, as responsible citizens on behalf of the living but unborn in the civic and political arena. Didn't call upon the church itself to do that, but called upon Christian citizens to do that. And to offer as an alternative to abortion, well, help for women, help for people with unwanted pregnancies, unwanted babies, encouraging Lutheran agencies to open their hearts and homes. And then it also specifically encouraged pastors, teachers, boards in the synod to warn against the sin of abortion, to instruct people that abortion is not in the realm of Christian liberty or private choice or personal opinion or political preference. It encouraged these folks in the synod, pastors, teachers, etc., to support responsible pro-life groups like Lutherans for Life, promote clear instruction of Christian morality in home, church, and school. And this is the only place I was able to find a reference to this in the history of Missouri Synod resolutions on abortion, support the efforts to secure the Human Life Amendment to the United States Constitution.
I'm curious, do you see here a result of the Missouri Synod having about, what, it would have been 6 years or so of the America of Roe, where they say, okay, this is a little more complex, and we need to say it a little bit more.
And we need to be kind of spreading the net wider in various ways, saying, okay, there are various things we can do now. For example, there was no Lutherans for Life organization in 1973 when Roe versus Wade was decided. By 1979, there was one. And that's basically what you see in the rest of this, Todd, in the rest of the history of Missouri Synod Convention actions on abortion. It's been, I'll call it broadly, either defensive or offensive. Defensive, saying the medical field has burgeoned. There's more things that we need to be concerned about than simply the matter of abortion per se. The whole complex of life issues surrounding abortion, and even things like in vitro fertilization. I mean, these are things we need to be aware of, and we need to be bringing the same kind of acuity to those issues as we're bringing to the issue of abortion. So that's the defensive part. The offensive part is saying we need to mobilize the agencies of the synod. We need to get congregations thinking very broadly about what they can do. How can we help in as many ways as possible?
When do we know, did the Missouri Synod say, we kind of need a department for this, not so much a department, but a ministry, as they would have called it in those days, that would focus on the protection of life?
There was already in the 80s a group for the sanctity of life that was operating, I think, under the auspices of the Board for Social Ministry. In the 1990s, President Barry appointed a president's commission for the sanctity of life, which had as its first chairman Ray Hartwig, who eventually became the secretary of the synod. And of course, now we have actually a department called Life Ministry within the organization of the synod.
How would you summarize the, I'm looking at least seven or eight further times that Missouri Synod revisited the issue of life?
Yeah, in 1983, there was, again, one of these offensive moves to call upon the Board for Parish Services, the Board for Social Ministry, the Board for Youth to get involved in things that were related to supporting women in crisis pregnancy and trying to teach people that abortion was sinful and it was to be avoided. 1989, now the Synod has to take account of another Supreme Court case, the Webster versus Reproductive Health Services, which did kind of open the door to some more protection for the unborn in state law. It also, in 1989, the Synod referred to developments in the area of life science, but just glides over that very quickly. In 1992, the next convention, it gets to be a little bit more specific. Developments in the life sciences, for example, experimental use of fetal tissue and early detection of unwanted genetic traits, which of course plays into people's decisions concerning abortion, unhappily so. Also in 1992, the Synod encouraged pastors to provide strong leadership in reaffirming the LCMS position of the sanctity of life. This is now nearly 20 years after Roe versus Wade. And to help those who suffer from stress due to a variety of causes leading to the consideration of abortion, and to provide counsel for those who face the tragic reality of post-abortion syndrome, because by 1992, there's more and more women who have been through an abortion and they need to be cared for. Also, in 1992, encouraging congregations to place life issues under the auspices of a congregational committee, working with a pro-life resource and contact person to become better informed about all aspects surrounding the issue of abortion, to observe an annual Life Sunday, to seek out opportunities for extending the fullest protection of law to all human life, and calling upon circuits to establish Lutherans for Life groups. In 1995, there is recognition of the President's Commission on the Sanctity of Life and the work that it was doing, and the Synod in 1995 went on record as deploring, renouncing, and repudiating in the strongest terms any use of violence as a means of protest. 1998, the Synod denounced partial birth abortion as a barbaric procedure and rejected the legalization of assisted suicide. Also in 1998, the Synod said that it understands the biblical prohibition of willful abortion to include abortion for the purpose of fetal tissue research and fetal tissue transplantation. 2001, the Synod took into account the fact that there are now drugs to induce abortion and warned about that takes the life of children in the womb. 2004, crisis pregnancy centers, encouraging LCMS congregations to establish and or support local pregnancy care centers. Also in 2004, calling attention to the fact, which had been true basically ever since Roe, that there are certain things that pass as birth control, but are in fact abortifacient, like preventing a fertilized embryo from implanting in the womb. So again, these are all ways that the Synod has expanded the attention, the scope of things that it's calling people's attention to with respect to pro-life matters.
With about 30 seconds, it sounds as though the Missouri Synod has been consistent and also pretty highly responsive to the new issues that a Roe America produced for the citizens.
Yeah, there's an old joke in the Synod, you know, that if we had created the Edsel, we'd still be driving them. But, you know, the fact is we have tried to get sometimes out in front of, but certainly be responsive, as you say, to these various issues that have come up with respect to abortion.
Do you think, having spoken this often, the Missouri Synod should speak again?
No doubt it will continue to speak, because no doubt there will be more scientific developments and more aspects of this issue within states as the debate goes now state by state that need to be attended to.
Dr. Ken Sherb has a PhD in church history from Ohio State University. He's director of evangelism and missions, stewardship and human care for the Central Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, formerly served as a theology professor at Concordia University in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and as an assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Ken, thank you very much for your time.
Always a pleasure, Todd. Thanks for coming here to Springfield.
Happy to do it. When we come back, we're going to talk about synod-wide efforts in defense of the unborn with Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and Deaconess Tiffany Manor, director of Life Ministries for the LCMS. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. When defending a biblical doctrine or practice, have you ever been accused of not caring for the lost? I've written a column in the latest Issues Etc. journal titled Playing the Mission Card. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Jeremy Lamont recounts his slow and sometimes painful path out of Mormonism to the Lutheran Confession. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Memoria Press award-winning Latin programs have successfully taught hundreds of thousands of students across the world. Their easy-to-use, step-by-step Latin curriculum provides students with an academic vocabulary, a mastery of English grammar, and strong critical thinking skills. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next purchase by using the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Christ Lutheran, Normal, Illinois. Faith Lutheran, Rogue River, Oregon. Gloria Day Lutheran, Escondido, California. Lutheran Church of Our Redeemer, Peekskill, New York. Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Redeemer Lutheran, Gresham, Oregon. St. John Lutheran, Fredonia, Wisconsin. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Trinity Lutheran, Millstadt, Illinois. And Zion Lutheran, Owego, New York. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.